Turn, if you will, to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I would ask that a few things that you would keep in mind as you pray this week. Number one, I see Evelyn sitting over here. Evelyn is having a procedure done, Monday, Tuesday of this week. And you're going to be going to St. Joe Hospital, and so we'll be praying for Evelyn. Why don't you wave your hand there? They can see her right down here. She's going to be having a heart procedure, I understand. And so we'll be praying for Evelyn as she goes in to have that done and that this week. And then also we would ask you to pray for the Tomasian family. Rosalyn is home, got in last night from Florida, but her father passed away this week. I believe it was Wednesday morning. And so just pray for them. All the Tomasian family, Rosalyn will be going back in the month of November. I think she said November the 18th. They'll be doing a memorial service for her father down in Melbourne, Florida, and that. So she lost her mother last year in 2016, now her father this year. And you know, you just know sometimes, and when one of the spouses goes to be with the Lord, that sometimes not long after that, the other one finds a reason that if you've lived that long together, sometimes they just want to go on home, go to heaven, and be with the Lord. And that was the case with her father. He was ready to go, and so I'd ask you to pray for the Tomasian family and the homegoing of Rosalind's father, if you would. In our Bibles today, in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to preach a Bible message today on the life of becoming like Christ, the life of becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes we may not think about it, but when the moment we get saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, I don't know if it really went through my mind that it was my desire, especially as a new convert, a young convert, just getting started, that I wanted to grow up to be like Christ. But obviously, the longer I was saved, the more I began to grow in Christ, the more I began to mature in the faith, the more that I began to see from the Scripture, I could see what God was doing in and through my heart and through my life. And I began to think about this in the life of a Christian, if you really think about it. From the moment we get saved, the Bible's very clear that all have sinned and they've all come short of the glory of God, and that there are none righteous, no, not one. And when you think about the plan of salvation, and I recognize at age 16, I was saved at an early and a young age. Ron mentioned a moment ago at age 12. And I would pray today, if you're here and you're a Christian, you can think back to the day that you got saved, the day you come to know Christ, and that you never let it get old. You never forget about it. It's a special day. It's a day that's unique in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I never want to grow tired or weary of my salvation. And so when you think about it, it was the day that I recognized that I needed a Savior, and I had sin in my heart and life. And we know that that sin, came from Adam and Eve as the sin nature passed on the whole human race. And we know the Bible is very clear that, as Ron mentioned a moment ago, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is a gift. You do have to receive that gift. You do have to recognize. You know, it's interesting because even the devil believes in Satan or believes in God and believes the Bible. And so you got to make a conscious decision. And you got to recognize that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. And there's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves, to give ourselves eternal life. And so when we look at it, we must realize that the day must come, you must reach out and accept that gift of salvation and then freely trust Christ and bring Christ into your heart. And Paul made it very clear in Romans 10 that it's with confession and by our confession of our sin and our guilt before Him and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have entrance into heaven. I don't know about you, but immediately after I was saved, I had a desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, so I immediately followed the Lord. And if you're here today and you're saved, you know you're saved, but you're not yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism, by all means, let me encourage you to do that. Make sure you take that step. And that is, it will not guarantee, has nothing to do with your salvation. But it's just an identity to the world that you're saved. You know Christ is your Savior. You're not ashamed of your salvation. You're following the Lord in believer's baptism. And then we begin what the Bible talks about is on that journey of growing in Christ, living a life in Jesus Christ and realizing that, I don't know about you, but in those early years of Christianity, no matter where you get saved, no matter when you come to Christ, in those early years, you're a newborn babe in Christ. You're just a new Christian in Christ, and you begin to mature, and you begin to grow, and you begin to grow in your faith in Christ. One of the things I'm always concerned about, especially as a pastor, is to watch people come to Christ, recognize their sin, confess their sin before the Lord Jesus, and then repent of their sin and come to Christ and be saved. And then as they get going to church and that, I'm always concerned and watching them if they'll stay faithful to the Word of God and stay faithful in church, because usually sometimes about 6 months to a year into that. If you're not careful, you can begin to be, Satan knows exactly where our weaknesses are. He knows exactly what it would take to stop us from going. And if I can encourage you and I as believers, and especially as new believers and new converts if you're here today, is you got to stay in church, stay in your Bible, stay in a prayer life, stay in church and going and allow, the Bible's very clear, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You got to stay under the reading of the Bible and the teaching of the Bible and the preaching of the Bible, and it'll help you to grow and to mature in your Christian faith and to grow into this life of what the Bible talks about of becoming like Christ. So that's what I want to identify a little bit this morning. What exactly does that mean? And let's look at this text here, because Paul addresses this to the church at Corinth and what it means to really live this life being identified to Christ. And Paul writing here in verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed." And I think the key that unlocks this text is verse 10 and verse 11. Right here they are. "Always hearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Again, some key things in that verse, we'll come back to it. Manifest in our body, and then be made manifest in our mortal flesh, and living that life in the image and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say in verse 12, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. And for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace that might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction," you might underline that, we'll come back to that in a moment, "our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So as Paul begins to unfold this this text here to the church at Corinth, it's interesting. Many believers think that Christianity, that once we get saved, that Christianity is something that we do. It's an action. It's something that we carry out. It's something that we do. For example, we pray as part of Christianity, or we read our Bibles, or we go to church, or we sing the hymns of the faith, or we give money. It's about do and do and do, 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 and what, you know, begin to do all these things. And we assume that is the Christian life. If I pray, that helps me to be a better Christian. And it does. But if we read our Bible, if we go to church, that really, but if you really think about it, authentic Christianity is about becoming rather than doing. It's living a life of faith. It's about becoming Christ-like. And the reason I say that, because oftentimes I can see in life, there are many times you can go to church and still not live a good Christian life. You can even pray and read your Bible and still be off the mark some. And you look at it, I say, and we should do all those things, but authentic Christianity is about becoming rather than doing. It's living a life of faith. Salvation first, then allowing God to change us from the inside out. You know, it's interesting. I think in a church, the church door should open wide and all should feel welcome to come in. And any that want to receive Jesus Christ and repent of their sin are welcome to do so. But then it's the Holy Spirit that begins to change you and I from the inside out, and he begins to change our habits. He begins to change our mindset. He begins to change our beliefs, our interests, our concerns, and so we become more like Christ as the Holy Spirit works in and through us on a daily basis. So this realization changes the perspective on the heartache that we must endure when we realize that Jesus' role of recreation in us is to conform us to his image. And so when you look at that, then oftentimes brokenness becomes an important part of changing you and I into the image of Christ. That key word there, brokenness. Brokenness, here's what brokenness is. Brokenness is the process that God uses to strip you and I of the things that have become or may become an obstacle in our Christian life. And the Holy Spirit is the best at doing that. The Holy Spirit allows you and I to go through times in our Christian lives of brokenness to strip away from us things that would hinder us from growing or becoming more like Christ. So it becomes a process. Yes, it's important that when we get saved that we begin to do good works and that we read our Bible and we pray and we go to church and we do all those things in the Christian life. But that's not really what makes us grow in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Those are things that we do. All those things are important. But brokenness oftentimes then comes into our life, and God uses brokenness to strip us of the things that sometimes that we will declare to God. God, I'll follow you. I'll love you. I'll even go to church. But this over here, that's off limits because I still want to do that. I still want to, I want to sell out for Jesus Christ, but I still want to hang on to this little part. Brother Ron sings a song, and one of the songs that he and the chapel sang, and I love it, it talks about the secret compartments of the heart, which I think ties right exactly into this. Sometimes God has to break us or bring brokenness into our lives and allow things to happen to conform us to the image of Christ. Even while we're going to church, even while we're praying, even while we're reading our Bibles, and even while we think we might be being a good Christian because we're doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this. And yet we're still not conforming or being conformed to the image of Christ. And so when you think about it here, God does not want to be Lord of most of your life, but all of our lives. And so God zeroes in on the part of you and I that are our self-will, our self-sufficiencies, to remove anything that relies on self. God uses brokenness to remove self, and so we can live moment by moment, day by day, in full dependence upon God. And so we should open our heart and ask God to reveal any selfish strongholds and then let God break away unhealthy behavior patterns in our lives. Here we find in this text, you notice this in verse 17. I asked you a moment ago to kind of pay note here. It says, for our light affliction. And, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, sometimes God has to allow or bring into our lives light affliction. And you and I, oftentimes, we know when that is. I don't know about you, but it's kind of like when you're there and, you pray, God, whatever the affliction is, whatever it is, I pray it won't last long. I pray it won't hurt too bad. I pray it won't be too severe. And sometimes God has to allow or bring into our lives light affliction to allow brokenness to get in, to conform you and I to the image of Jesus Christ. In verse 18, that's why it's important that when you and I go through an affliction, that don't look on the temporal things. Don't look on the things that are right in front of us. Look on the eternal. While we look in verse 18, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. So when we're going through that light affliction, or when we're going through maybe even a deeper, some more severe affliction, keep our eyes focused upon Christ. Keep your eyes focused on the eternal, not on the physical around us, not on the temporal that is around us. And so thereby, by doing so, we know we are growing in grace in Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Peter, if you will, in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, that we need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter addresses this. 2 Peter chapter 3, and if you will, get down to verse 18. He says, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So God has a plan for every life in the Christian life. Salvation is always the first step. If you're here today and you're not saved, my friend, the invitation is that God simply loves you, and he came and he was willing, and he died on the cross to pay your sin debt. You and I need to recognize that we are sinners and we cannot save ourselves, and there's none righteous, no, not one. And oh, that we would all call upon the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not saved, that's the step number one, is you got to be saved. You got to trust Christ. That's the very beginning. You cannot grow in grace until, first of all, you take care of this thing on salvation. God wants his family to take on his resemblance. You know, it's interesting. I know you women are really good at this. You ever been in the hospital and a newborn baby shows up and in the family and you're sitting there, oh, he just looks like so-and-so. Oh, she just looks like so-and-so. You know, I don't know. I mean, yes, sometimes, but for the most part, I'm usually the guy that says, I can't tell. You know, I don't know. I just know they're cute and they're adorable, but how do you know? And so, and then as they begin to unfold, okay, yeah, maybe they look more like their mother, maybe like their father, more like their grandfather, more like their grandmother. Well, they take on resemblances of the family. That's a good thing. So it is in Christianity, as we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, as we grow in grace, we should take on the resemblance of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we do that. And so to realize that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then to him be glory and now and both and forever. And so God wants his family to take on that resemblance. I've had the occasions. We have 8 grandchildren. I just had a chance to see ours that live out of state. And it was interesting at their new births when they all started showing up at their birth arrivals to listen to the comments of who looked like who and who, you know, and they have all these resemblances. And then as they mature and they begin to grow, I mean, I have a granddaughter that's in 9th grade in high school and all the way down to a 3-year-old. So we have a wide spectrum of all that. And so it's interesting, the Holy Spirit is in charge of transforming us into the likeness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our primary source of food for that is the Word of God. Is to be fed continuously for growth and in godliness. And as we take in God's word, our old way of thinking, which gratifies self, is replaced with a God-centered mindset. We need a God-centered mindset. As we go out into the world and as we live our daily lives, the Bible, the Word of God, should become the very central fulcrum, the very central point that guides our mind, guides our hearts, guides our actions, guides our behavior. So when you think about that, the Holy Spirit uses scriptural truth to replace a self-absorbed thought process. We need to grow in grace, pursuing Christian maturity, deepening our knowledge of Jesus Christ, which leads to doctrinal stability and then to prevent a Christian from being led astray. You know, it's a sad thing. It always breaks, I know, a pastor's heart to be able to see somebody that was a Christian that was on fire for God and served the Lord and for whatever happens, there comes a time in their life where they've lost that fire, they've lost that zeal, they're no longer following the Lord like they used to. And oh to God that we would come back to that and God will show us which of our habits or practices are displeasing to him if we just stay in the Bible. Then God then expects us to make those changes, change our attitude, change our behavior, change our lifestyle, to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, it steps all over my toes. It steps all over me. It convicts me of my sins, shows me my weaknesses. And that's a good thing because it helps me in my attitude. It helps me in my behavior. It helps me in a lifestyle choices. It helps us to renew our minds, admitting our mistakes, and then to begin making changes to conform to the image of Christ. And so all requirements for spiritual growth. And so becoming like Christ Jesus, the characteristics of becoming like him. Look in this text here in 2 Peter. Go back to chapter 1. You're right there in 2 Peter. So you got to start the starting point. Right out of the blocks is salvation. You got to have salvation. But then as you have salvation, now you begin to add to your salvation certain things along life's journey. And look what Peter wrote here that you and I begin to add to this. Notice it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into his glory, virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So he's getting ready to outline that by these virtues, by these things that he outlines here, will help you and I become living our lives in the image and the likeness of Christ. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, now he begins to list them, all diligence, add to your faith. Faith is first. Now you add to your faith virtue. And then you add to virtue, knowledge. And then you add to knowledge, temperance. And then to temperance, patience. And then to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But in verse 9, notice this now, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. And for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And he says, "Wherefore, I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," Paul says, or Peter says, "as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this fleshly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." So being conformed to the image of Christ, we got to put on these things. You take your faith, your saving faith, that born-again salvation that you and I were saved by. And then from that, you begin to build on that virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And so if you lack these things, he says, if you lack these things, he says, you cannot see afar off. And not only that, if you do these things, the Bible is very clear, you shall never, never fall. And so when you think about it here, take your Bible and go back to the Old Testament to find the book of Jeremiah back here, if you will, Jeremiah 18. I always kind of like this text when you go back in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 18 is a good illustration. It talks about the potter, and he says here in Jeremiah 18 and verse 1, says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a good work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it." So here's interesting in this text, is you take just a simple illustration of going down. He says, "There I will cause thee to hear my words. There I will begin to pull out the impurities of your life. There I will begin to put you on that potter's wheel and begin to turn that and begin to mold you and shape you. And as you walk through this journey in life, I will pull out the impurities of your life and allow you to be the vessel that I've chosen you to be." And so God here is really, the potter's is a semblance of God. "And wrought a good work on the wheel." And the vessel that he's talking about here in verse 4 is really the marred sin that's oftentimes in our life. You know, and so he made it again. God uses brokenness to cause us to hear his word. God allows brokenness or disappointments or challenges in our life to come in to mold us and shape us into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did so with the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 8 also talks about that in verse 29, being conformed to the image of God's Son through Jesus Christ. It's a process. You don't get that process overnight. You don't, you know, when you're immediately saved, it takes time and it takes process to grow into the image and the likeness of Christ. And it just depends on what we go through and our growth process. And some Christians will take off and they'll grow strongly and quickly. They'll remain faithful. Others will go through, it's kind of like the book I read one time, talks about 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. You'll move forward in your Christian life and then you'll back up and of whatever's going on. And sometimes God brings brokenness or things into our lives to allow us to get us back on track. Always, oftentimes, uses that brokenness. So God sees you and I as believers, as the person he or she will be when we are fully yielded to Jesus Christ. That's what God sees. God sees the potential that's in you and I, and as we fully yield to him, if you'll just yield yourself to him and give yourself to him, he sees what the end result can be. If we'll just stay on track and give him our heart and give him our life and allow these things to be added to our life that Peter talked about over here. And then God then sets about achieving that complete renovation by transforming our individual present self into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. You know, you could really say God is an interior designer. Think about that. Doing a work in our hearts and in our lives. Remodeling involves removing whatever is unnecessary, whatever is damaged, or whatever is outmoded. Being a Christian under construction oftentimes becomes uncomfortable and painful and difficult, to say the least. God targets our habits. God targets our attitudes. God targets our relationships wherein we act independently of his purposes. And then he begins to apply the pressure. in our lives. And pain from his tools may be temporarily obscure, but the beauty of his design. So my friend, if you're going through brokenness today, come back to the Savior and realize that he has a plan and he has a purpose, and that brokenness will lead you back into the full image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more that we serve him, the more that our faith grows in him, the desire should be of every Christian is to grow in Christ and to be like our Savior. And oftentimes, Christ, you know, we like to talk about Jesus Christ. We like to talk about the worship. We like to talk about, you know, all the good things that went on, all the miracles that took place. But what about the brokenness? What about the difficulty? What about Calvary? What about the suffering that he went through? All those things made the Son of God who the Son of God is. And he became the propitiation for our sin. He became our substitute. He became the one that died in our place, and that we, if we will just come to him and confess our sin and repent of our sin and ask him to come into our heart, he'll save us and give us eternal life. And then the process begins of the brokenness along the way. And it might even be at different times of our life. You go through and you think you got that pretty well in order and you're on the right track, and then something else happens. Allow the brokenness, or allow the difficulties, or allow the challenges, whatever they may come and whatever size or shape they come in our lives, to bring us closer to God, not farther away. Sometimes I see people do that in their lives. Something will happen and they'll become broken over something. They'll become hurt over something, or something will happen or whatever. And so then they can become bitter or angry or upset, or some will even quit going maybe to church or give up. And every once in a while I'll run into a person like that and I'll say, you know, whatever you do, don't give up on God. I understand sometimes people give up on church or they give up on a relationship or whatever, but don't give up on God. God, you know, it's interesting as we change and things change. God, wherever we leave off on the path and the trail, we can always go back to that and pick up right there, because God's right there where we left off. It's us that have changed, not God. And so conforming you and I to the image and the likeness, I don't know about you, but one of these days, my friend, you and I are going to stand and look at our Savior face to face. Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's an individual accountability. And I've got to look at my Savior someday and give an account of every word, every deed, every action, of everything in my life. I can't look to my neighbor. I can't look to a staff member. I can't look to a spouse. I can't look to him. I've got to look my Savior face to face and do my best to be conformed into his image. And oftentimes it's through brokenness and through trials and through challenges, being conformed into the image of Christ, growing to be more like Christ. You ever been out in the world somewhere, and somebody, you might be in a business environment or business situation, somebody might say, I don't know, there's something different about you. Or they say, you know, and eventually later on they might come out and find out that you're a Christian. And then somebody will say, oh, I kind of figured that, or I kind of thought that, or whatever, and that. And so I think it's important that the more you and I will grow in Christ, in the image of Christ, in the likeness of Christ, the message itself it sends to a lost and dying world out there is the image and of Christ and how he's changed our life. And by what we do and our actions and what we display day to day, our attitudes, our heart, our actions, what we say, what we do, how we live. Then as we conform to the image of Christ, we're then giving the right message to a lost and dying world that they too need Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the end goal, when you think about it, is to grow, to be like him. And heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And when you think about it here, the brokenness that comes oftentimes in our lives, you think about it here, Paul told the Corinthian church, is a light affliction. Do you ever think about that? You ever been in affliction and you say to yourself, man, I can't wait till this is over. I just want to get through this somehow and come out the other end a little bit stronger, a little bit better. God, help me in this time of affliction. Help me in this time of difficulty and bring me through this. And it should always be our prayer. God, bring me through this and the image and likeness of Christ. Help me to be a better Christian going through this light affliction in my life that I can conform to and measure up to and relate to the image and the likeness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today that's a message, and we think about here what Paul said to the church at Corinth. God, and how important it is that we ought to do our best to live by faith. We're saved by faith. We're going to live our lives by faith, and to realize one of these days we're going to die by faith. So God, help us to realize that this thing in the Christian life is a process that we go through. And you're forming and shaping and molding our lives to be all that we can be for the cause of Christ, and molding us into who you want us to be. And so, God, today, maybe there's someone here that's going through a time of brokenness today. God, I just pray that they won't quit. They won't give up. They won't throw in the towel. But they'll remain faithful and allow that brokenness to go full circle and come out at the other end, and they will survive that light affliction, whatever it is they're going through, and they will be stronger and better because of it. So God, help us in our light afflictions. Help us in the trials and the challenges of life. And oh God, I know that you love us and you want what's best for us, and so may we conform and do our best to worship you, to praise you, to honor you. And yes, it's important to do these things. Yes, we should pray. Yes, we should read our Bibles. Yes, we should go to church. But God, you are doing a work in and through our hearts and through our lives that we are becoming like Christ. And so may we always be in submission to you and asking for the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit, not only to save us, but to help us walk through life's journey. Help us to get through the brokenness. Help us to get through the challenges of life. That ultimately, God, we can be conformed to the image of your Son, who died for our sin, gave his very life that we could have eternal life. And for that, God, we are eternally grateful. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Let's stand together, if you will, today.